Disclaimer: the opinions expressed in Thinking Outside the Boot are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University.
Welcome back to Thinking Outside the Boot. I'm your host, Mark Andre. I'm here with Jay.
What's up?
We got Samir and we got Tristan. And for this episode, we will be doing a UEFA Champions League review. Obviously, first leg of the quarterfinals happened today, so we're just going to go through every game, talk about, you know, the key narratives, and also give a prediction for what we think is going to happen next week. Let's get into it. PSG Liverpool. So I feel like this one was honestly pretty, I mean, not uneventful, but
PSG BTA.
Yeah,
that was play them out the park.
Yeah.
And the worst part of that game, and like, I was debating it at the beginning of the game. I'm like, what's the reason that he's switching formations in this game? And I kept telling myself, I'm like,
slot.
Does Liverpool already have eyes on Xabi Alonso coming in? So they're just like,
no, get the system. That'd be ready. Crazy if Slot was prepping it for his.
But like, or the club was telling him to do it,
that's
right?
Like, that's like
hour, right? I think, like, obviously not. I think he was just trying something. But like, the back three did not work at all.
He's trying stuff, bro.
But it could work. It could work, just not in this game.
This
is not the game to be trying.
This is a man who's literally ran out of everything.
Ideas, yeah.
He's tried to, more morale-wise, try to get his team up.
Yeah.
You know, saying good stuff about them in the press. You got Dominic Szoboszlai doing his 1-2. Tactically, he looks inept.
Yeah,
I don't know where everybody's playing.
Yeah,
like three back was crazy. I don't know.
I think
tried matching them.
I think this is the most glaringly obvious way to show that their heads have been gone for months.
Because
I think even if you played that system under Klopp,
they're
not how that's not how the game ends up. I saw something on Twitter where they said that PSG had 60 passes uninterrupted before the Kvara goal. They had like, or not, sorry, 60, I think it was like 6 minutes. So some to do like that, where it's like they had the ball for
the whole time,
long time. The bit, like the move, they played out the whole move, no press, no nothing.
Yeah.
Kvara puts it in the back of the net. And I think Liverpool would have lost anyways, but not
like
in
that?
This way. Like, I think the way he set him up to fail.
Yeah.
And I feel like, not to bring in a lot not to bring in a lot of Prem teams into this, but you know how like smaller Prem teams used to line up against Prime City?
Yeah.
They start the game,
God.
Where they start the game knowing they lost. That's how Arne Slot approached that game.
Yeah.
And I think like you're just shooting yourself in the foot. And it's also what played out in that game is more of what we knew about PSG, which is like they suck. They suck at like breaking teams down. They're only like, they suck at breaking, like when they have the ball on the edge of the box. No, I don't think if you watch that game, if you genuinely watch that game, where were all their shots coming from? Edge of the box, outside of the box.
Yeah, because all the Liverpool guys
were just
said
in they
the box.
Came in knowing they'd lose, so Liverpool and
they
didn't
scored
press them,
from outside
so
the box.
Where all the Liverpool players would be.
Many
so
but it came off of a deflection. Like imagine they didn't get that goal. Imagine they didn't get that goal in the first. Like. Imagine they go into halftime 0-0. That's a completely different outlook of the game. Desiree Doué's deflected like shot. That shouldn't even go. Like, what can you do about that?
Yeah, but they were peppering them. They were playing better than them. They were putting shots on them.
It was kind of a...
They weren't going to get into the box.
Happen?
Yeah.
It was like,
they
when is it going to happen type shit.
They played better than them.
That's fair. What I mean by like PSG struggling to break teams down is it's like when you play PSG's game, when you don't try to play your own style, when you're like, okay, you guys want to play like this is how we're going to counter you. They struggle. That's what happened with Villa. That's what happened with Monaco. When teams are like, okay, we know you're like this. We're not going to try to play our footy. We're going to try to play according to you. They struggle. They have a hard time. That's every time that PSG has played badly against these big or small teams. It's because the other team played into their hand. Chelsea don't play like that ever.
Like, when did they switch? Yeah.
Like Chelsea never, ever played like that, ever I know it's a cup final.
It's also not, like, a real competition.
Okay,
like,
but you
I
understand
I don't want to sit
like,
up
that's
here.
Just one, that's just one
Chelsea
example.
Needed that, PSG
but
didn't.
That's the
no,
only
that's
example.
One,
that's the only time PSG have lost when it mattered at all.
Like,
so you
can
since they've been
they
good.
Almost,
no,
they
but, no, but
did.
They didn't get knocked out. Like, if you get over...
Strasbourg as well. When they played Strasbourg at the beginning of the season, they played their game, didn't beat Strasbourg. What I'm saying is, like... Liverpool should have seen
that's
the
harsh.
Liverpool should have seen the blueprint on how to play. I think they and they should have kind of followed it. I think
Liverpool can't play though. That's the problem.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but Liverpool can't play.
In terms of Liverpool, they don't even have.
It's just not them.
This is my question.
Before I actually don't think the formation would have mattered in that game. Yeah, before bro, being 100% honest.
Yeah, like I don't disagree with what you're saying, but does the blueprint work if it's not worked for anyone? Like, there's no actual blueprint. Like. It, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's in theory a blueprint, but just because you got the game close doesn't mean you beat them.
Nah, I get what you
like. Mean. If no team's actually eliminating them, the blueprint isn't valid. It's like ideas and moments that you got where it worked, but it's never anything like concrete.
I think that's better everybody than just got accepting, a to play just these accepting guys. The BTA. You know?
No, that's he what, didn't accept it.
That's
he
what Inter did.
No,
but like in, that's what RNA
Inter were
did.
Just out of no. Inter were never.
Yeah, bro,
Inter
lineup. His lineup was accepting BTA.
No, it wasn't. I think.
You didn't
think that was, this lineup that started the game
is their best lineup.
Is their best lineup, and it was the lineup that was always going to start the game. I think the positions he put them in was probably more of a question, but I think it was he's on his last straw, so he had to try something to change the game. But at the end of the day, the only thing he would have changed in the system if this wasn't the positions he played, he would have put Gomez to right back and Frimpong would have been an out of the right wing.
Yeah,
that would have been the only change of the game.
Yeah.
But instead of that, he put Gomez left center back and went into a back five to try and sit in. Right. Yeah. But it actually doesn't matter because PSG was always going to get that game and Arne Slot ran out of ideas. So there's nothing he could have done.
I was actually going to kind of play off of that and just to kind of like. Get, like wrap it up with PSG.
This guy set up to lose.
Is are PSG that good compared to English teams, or are the English teams that they have played really bad? I know they would beat a lot of teams in the Prem, but what I'm saying is like the way that they're passing it off the park without the other team grabbing it. They played Chelsea and Liverpool, where you know what I mean. They let them do all of that. So my question around it is. The way that people are looking at PSG right now, are they the same level as they were last year, or just their run has been favorable? Because we saw against Monaco, they low-key did not play that well. And
that's
they almost
but we've already had this discussion. We already said it's because it was another Ligue 1 team who understands. Like, their entire study is how can we beat PSG to the title?
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
So, like...
This is the same team, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They,
no, bro, they're gonna fry you.
So say.
I don't want to say they were
they're
better team.
They're,
but
no, they're, no, they're worse.
No. Last year they were way better.
Yeah,
way,
last year they
yeah.
were way better.
But it's
like,
still the.
But I don't know. They're scary still.
It's the same
still
team scary. Without an amazing goalkeeper. Like that's what it is.
Yeah,
it's
Stefano was pretty good.
He's been against Chelsea. He was really good. He made some big saves, but. He's not unbeatable, and I think that's what they had last year was almost a goalkeeper where it's like
OP.
I'm gonna
but it's crazy because this is like
the exact same lineup that started the UC. Fabian Ruiz,
who's injured.
But
so having said that, do you think PSG scored any more in the
next leg?
Yeah,
it's probably.
What score do you think it's gonna?
It's probably.
I know my prediction.
2-1.
That game.
For Paris?
No, I want to say 2-1 Liverpool.
Oh, sheesh. I was going to say 2-1 Paris.
But PSG still wins it. But also, I don't know if Liverpool's good enough.
Liverpool's not scoring more than PSG.
No, yeah, I agree.
Like a 1-1 maybe?
Not.
I think.
Or is it straight PSG BTA again?
I think it's 2-1, and it's like close. 2-1
PSG?
I think it's 2-1, kind of like how the second leg of Liverpool PSG went last year, where it was like a lot of chances for both teams, kind of up in the air.
Yeah.
But because PSG don't need to win, there's almost going to be less pressure, and they'll just like do their own thing.
Not for PSG. PSG doesn't care. PSG will always play to win.
Yeah.
So I actually don't.
No, I mean less pressure, just like. On that game individually.
Sure, but
so they're almost going to be more free flow. Like, they're going to be less, like...
That's more scary.
No, but I'm saying...
So what do you think?
I think they're going to win 2-1. 2-1? Yeah.
I think it's going to be... I know I, like, keep using old matches to reference, but I think it's going to play out in the same type of way that Madrid-Liverpool game with Darwin Nunez, where they had the lead at, like, 1-0. And then they just held like 5. That's what I think is going to happen. I think it's going to be like 3-1 or 4-1. It's going to be like 1-0. going to the 30th minute or like 20th minute, they're looking really good, and then they concede the goal, it all goes all down. From
yeah,
there.
That's true.
Yeah.
The second Liverpool concede, they're losing. Like,
yeah, that's a pretty.
Especially accurate. At Anfield, even if they have, I don't care if they have a 3-4-0 lead. We have seen this season how they let every single team in the league get back from a losing position at halftime.
Yeah.
So that's why I think Liverpool at some point is either going to be tied or looking like they're in the game for like 10 minutes, and then the rest of the game is just going to be a walk in the park.
Yeah. So, yeah.
What do you think?
I'll pawn my decision quickly.
I think 2-2. I think Liverpool will realize that this is the season. This is it. Like,
this is what all they have to play
for. Yeah, so I feel like they'll lock in a little bit. Fans will be on their side again. Just, you know, get them riled up. Hopefully something will happen, but I do feel like it will be 2-2.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, up next we got probably the best game of the week.
Let's save that one then to last.
No, we'll do this one now. We'll start Madrid-Bayern. We're going to talk about the other one.
Great game. I'm going to pose a question to start off with. Is Mbappe the problem?
No.
He scored. It doesn't matter. I think I don't like Madrid fans sometimes. Like, now I see why they're not liked. I'm sorry. Go ahead, bro. Like,
I think it's always been the quiet role that Madrid need to build their team. The dynamic around Madrid is it's like big superstars and egos. You need that one person holding it down in each position, whether it be in defense, in net, in midfield, in attack. You have to have that one kind of selfless player that enables everybody else. Kind of like Rodrigo is that selfless player in the attack, where it's like he will come up in big moments, but he's also fair enough. If Vinny comes on his flank, he will move out the way. Same thing in the midfield. I think that's what they're losing a lot, is that leader in midfield, the person that has the Real Madrid mentality like a Galactico. Eduardo Camavinga is not a Galactico.
I'm not talking about Camavinga.
Tchouaméni,
Valverde.
But he's okay. He's not a facilitator. What I'm saying is, like, the big problem at Madrid is
Toni Kroos.
They need. That's what I was gonna say. Toni Kroos, a guy that facilitates everybody else.
Yeah.
That is what makes their whole system tick.
Yeah.
And the second that you remove that guy, that's not what he was in the squad.
But that's what he will be.
Okay, well, until that happens,
then that is the problem.
I don't think Mbappe is the problem. He is a big detriment, but then again, that detriment you knew before you signed him. You can't have Vinny and Mbappe in the same club.
We all knew this. That's why I don't care about that whole starting lineup.
And it's like clearly Perez said, I know all this, but I know he's a big game player. And in big games, like, I was watching the whole game with my Madrid friend, and he was like talking so much about Mbappe and how bad he was. After he scored, the little stat came up: 14 goals in 10 matches. What are you talking about?
I know you guys are gonna mention this year.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
No, but I know like half of them were against like Kyrat and like Benfica. And
you play better football without Mbappe.
Shut up, bro. You guys are losing without this.
How do I say it? Like,
no, it actually doesn't matter. Like, genuinely, like. If you really think about this,
this is the dilemma that they're in, because they generally play better without Mbappe. Mbappe for Madrid would be amazing coming on in the second half, 60th minute, but you can't have Mbappe not starting the match, and that's the dilemma that they have.
And they don't want to draw Vinny, so here we go.
Yeah.
I don't care, it's Madrid fans. You guys are greedy. I don't care.
Yeah, they're greedy.
I don't care that Mbappe is playing so good that your team is not playing bad, bro. I remember when Gonzalo Garcia... he was playing very good, right? And then I think this was Mbappe's first injury. They're like, yes, we're gonna play good football. Garcia's in. They got spanked.
Yeah.
I don't care, bro. Your team is poo. Without Mbappe.
Also, like, Madrid fans don't watch the game. They just watch moments.
Even if
they're watching the whole game, they're only gonna talk about the things that you saw in the highlights.
Yeah.
Because
either the misses or the
like
goals.
Why are we acting like Madrid weren't actually in the game as well? And like,
yeah.
Vinny miss an open net.
Yeah.
Nobody saw. I don't hear that. I'm not hearing it. Him missing an open net. All they're saying is like, oh, we should have lost by a million against Bayern. Like Upamecano miss. I'm like, you guys can.
Yeah,
see
that
the
was
same
like
thing.
The one goal they could have.
And
yeah.
It's like,
it could have been like 3-3 easily.
Bayern only peppered them on the transition.
Yeah.
And it was only when Real Madrid went out of their way to like
score.
In the first half, it was close. It wasn't a good game of football to watch from a Madrid perspective. The only reason people were hating on Madrid is because they're at home in the Champions League against Bayern. You shouldn't be playing like that. But it was working.
It was working.
Apart from a wonder strike from Kane, that's not an easy finish. That's not an easy goal. Yeah. What are they supposed to do from that position? And then what did Bayern really do except on the break? I'm not saying that to discredit Bayern. I'm just saying the only reason Bayern looked that good in the second half is because Madrid gave them the ability to. When Madrid was playing their game, Madrid played their game until the 65th minute. And that's when after the 65th minute, they're like, okay, let's take the breaks off. And so what happened? Yes, they were very susceptible at the back, but that's also when they started peppering Neuer's net.
Yeah.
Game ends, everyone's talking about Mbappe, everyone's talking about how like Vinny doesn't work. I'm like, did you not watch the game? They
just
were
horrible,
in it.
Horrible. Just
do you guys
horrible
actually
fans,
played
bro.
Better in this game
horrible
than
fans,
you guys did
bro.
Against City? Yeah. They did the home game against City.
Oh
they,
yeah, yeah.
They
yeah.
played better in this game than they did against City. Where's that conversation about the football, about
horrible.
Mbappe?
Like if we're
about
being honest, like Bayern are good, 100%. We all know Bayern's good, but like it was the Olise show. Like he was the only one.
Jinky.
Like he was frying them,
that
and Gnabry
was, one of the
was helping
best
him out too.
Performances I've seen in
yeah.
a while.
But
not
besides
while.
That,
but.
Besides that, Bayern didn't look great. It didn't look great.
If your team, I know Bayern plays with like a deep lying, like their attackers play deep lying, but to have Kane in his own half picking it up from Upamecano like 5 times.
Yeah, yeah.
That shows how out of the game he is. You know what I, no, I'm saying, yes, he does do that dropping
in
the back,
yeah.
But you saw, you like, I was watching the game, I'm like, why is, like, I know Kane does this like sometimes to help with a runner.
But why
but it's
is
like,
it?
He you... picks it up and there's no runner. He just picks it up and gets a touch.
Yeah.
So that literally shows that they pocketed him. But they don't mention this stuff. With Madrid, it's like, you only mention the bad and you only mention the really good. Anything in between, just
my
pull out.
Then.
Yeah. And it's like,
just because of this,
I'm
backing my
prediction. To the game. But just,
Madrid's still winning it.
They are. They
just kind of lean into that. I feel like what Madrid can do in the next leg is, honestly, the best thing to do is, bro, hold a therapy session with, like, Vinny and Mbappe.
Let's do score predictions,
bro. Because they both can't play, right?
Let's do score predictions, because I don't want to talk about these greedy
guys. Yeah, let's do score predictions.
They got Daryl.
Okay, I'll go first.
Yeah, let's run. Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking it's two different outcomes.
No, nothing. Only pick one. Only pick. No, you don't get to pick.
No,
two
no.
outcomes.
Pick one. Score prediction
one.
Now.
Yeah,
stand
yeah, yeah.
on
what
it.
Is,
stand on it. Go.
What is two outcomes?
It's 2-1 on aggregate, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
2-1 pens.
2-1 pens. Shake my hand. 2-1 pens. Madrid on pens. That's my prediction.
Tristan, what you
I
got?
I was gonna say 3-2.
Madrid.
Yeah.
Everyone has Madrid winning, huh? I'm gonna say Bayern wins.
And Loki's probably gonna
three,
be the one that's
three.
Right. Probably will be.
Right.
Yeah,
3-2. I think it's gonna be
3-2.
Yeah,
see,
yeah,
I think if
Bayern. 3-2.
Bayern. So they win like 4.
And then the final game, which
what was your prediction? Did you say, or you agreed with 2-1? Yeah,
2-1 pens. Madrid.
That'll be the episode. Those were some definite, like every single spectrum of a prediction. But yeah, that was our episode. Tell us in the comments how wrong we were. But yeah, those were our
come back to this
UCL predictions. As always, thank you, Spirit Life, for having us. And yeah, you're watching Thinking Outside the Boot. It was me, Marc Andre. I'm here with Jay, Samir, and Tristan. And have a nice weekend. We'll see you.
Take care.
Take care.